You're listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer and reporter Megan Jamerson.
Hey, you're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan. And, of course, I'm here with my co-host, Robert Palmer.
Good morning, Scooty.
Mr. Fancy Pants. Every time he calls me Scooty, I'm going to call him Mr. Fancy Pants.
You got a deal, brother.
You got an interesting story behind that, but we don't need to get to it now. Hey, you know, we talked about this last week, Robert, that our show is sponsored by Jimmy's Famous American Tavern in Dana Point Harbor.
That it is.
Owner David Wilhelm, who we had in the studio here a couple of weeks back. And we just want to give a shout out to them for sponsoring our show. Regional American comfort food, cocktails, micro brews, and California wines. It's open for lunch and dinner, as you know, weekend brunches. I highly recommend people, obviously, go down and check it out. But I've enjoyed it there. I've been there a couple of times myself.
We do indeed. It's a great place to hang out just for drinks or for dinner with friends. Lots of TVs, lots of comfort, beautiful view, Dana Point Harbor, living wall. They got it all going on.
Very nice. Beautiful.
Don't forget the pimento dip.
The pimento dip. And I think they make their own ketchup, if I'm not mistaken.
They do, and it's fantastic. And They just started a pastrami sandwich, and it's the same pastrami that they get from Langer's. So it's to die for if you like pastrami.
When are they going to get their Robert Palmer sandwich?
That's permanently banned from the menu, I believe.
Probably includes Red Bull and something else?
It does, although I have my own grilled cheese at the lumberyard.
I know. All right. Also, Radio Caravan's now on Cox Channel 3 TV, 8 p.m. Saturdays, 12 noon Sundays, 8 p.m. tonight, 12 noon tomorrow. And this weekend,
Sean Jones.
Yeah.
One of our favorites ever, so I really recommend that show. An extraordinary musician. He's currently touring in Europe. I think he's in Ireland right now, coming back. But plays locally, amazing blues, jazz, guitarist, singer, songwriter. Check it out. I guarantee you'll like it.
Yeah, we've seen him together once. I know you've seen him another time or two. And then he was the opening or the closing act when we had Jack Temption here
for the
Wine Gallery thing. And I just really felt that he's one of the most phenomenal guitarist musicians in the area.
I agree.
Yeah, so that's 8 p.m. tonight, Channel 3 for those who are listening.
Noon tomorrow.
Also, this morning we're having our first phoner. We've never had a phoner before.
Is that legal?
Yeah, I think it is. We have an
Are we doing a three-way phoner?
We are, actually. We've got comedian actress Rita Rudner calling
in. What a treat.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and she's got something she's doing here locally that we'll talk about when she calls in around 8:35.
She helps raise money for the Playhouse each year. It's a great show. I've been to it a couple times.
Yeah.
Very impressive woman. She's
Very
done
impressive.
Just about everything.
Yeah. So let's start with our normal police blotter.
Today's police blotter.
All right, Laguna Beach, a word of caution. This is going to be a wonderful weekend celebrating the Memorial Day holiday, but please be aware that the Laguna Beach police are doing massive sweeps and massive patrols, so be on your best behavior or stay out of trouble. Uh-oh. Speaking of trouble, we unfortunately had one of our fine Marines there from Pendleton show up the other night, apparently a bit hammered, jumped through a window, severed his artery, and went 175 yards down the street, literally almost bleeding to death.
That's scary.
Passed out and was saved by friends. So get well, Marine, and be safe.
Yeah.
Here's a weird one. We're trying to figure out what the purpose of this is, but vandalism on Saturday last week. Two vehicles were wrapped with toilet paper, mustard, and rice.
Toilet paper, mustard. Sounds like a joke here coming.
It sounds like a Karnak. The answer is mustard.
That's exactly what it sounds like, yeah. But what is that?
If someone knows if this is some bizarre new thing people are doing or whether somebody was just stoned and that's all they had in the refrigerator, that's our popular theory here this morning. We don't know, but that's kind of vicious.
But we were talking, that's got to be some damage to a car, don't you think?
Seriously,
mustard,
think
rice,
so.
Scraping it off. Somebody was angry.
So, suspicious person. This would be an understatement. A transient was spotted last Saturday night walking down the street against traffic carrying a pickaxe.
Ow.
You gotta love that guy there. So I don't know what happened to him. Huh. You know, people say it's safe to toke and drink. Just don't you know, drink and drive. But no, you cannot toke and drive either.
Now, when we say toke, we mean
a little pot? smoky potty potty. Not that I would know, but I hear this. But a lot of people say it's safe to do. Well, a 16-year-old plowed his car into a tree last week after getting stoned. So please be careful out there.
Well, you know, that raises some interesting questions, because who says it's safe, first of all?
Stoners say it's safe.
Got you. And then I don't know if you get pulled over, because I think this week in the Laguna Beach Police Department is conducting its DUI sort of stops, yes?
They also test for drugs now, if they think.
I was just going to ask. They test for that as well?
They can indeed.
And how do they do that? They do it by blood, you know, or?
You would have to. I don't think you can test that in a breathalyzer.
Yeah.
I believe by blood or urine.
Or urine. Very interesting. And are there laws on the books that suggest you can't smoke and drive?
Under the influence.
Under the influence of anything.
Could be anything.
Got you. Okay.
Cough syrup, whatever it could be.
Okay.
With codeine or anything.
All right. Nice.
Or it could be, you know, one of your bizarre things you're going to bring up that we're going to eat today, Jill. Poppy seeds. As a matter of fact, many people have been busted for poppy seeds because it leaves a trace in your system just like heroin. It's made from the poppy.
Well, that's a Seinfeld episode, I'm pretty sure. But let's make sure Jill's on so she can participate. Let's get Max on, too. We've got Max Tex in the room down from San Francisco. So
yo,
everybody's
Max.
On mics, right, Max?
Yep, I'm here.
There he is. All right.
Morning, Jill.
Morning.
Okay, so we're winding out our crime wave here, and this goes under the waste of effort. Some guy bothered to smash in and break into a storage unit and decided what was there was so crappy he left all of it. Didn't take anything.
Sounds like mine.
This is a sad one here, actually.
Do you have a storage unit, by the way? Do you have a place where you store your stuff other than your home?
It's a very sad story. My wife has had one in New Jersey for 3 years that she's never been to, where she had all of her lovely things, and she just flew back this weekend to empty it and bring home her photographs and discover they're all destroyed by mice and rain.
So
hopefully we will soon be done with that.
That last storage facility.
But it's a cash cow. You know, the way it works is you swipe your credit card, you put your stuff in there, and people forget about it.
That's what happens.
Very profitable.
I had years stored furniture that I would never use in my life. I don't even know why.
I don't know. Yeah. So here's a sad tale. And this is one of the greatest understatements by a police officer. Monday, May 19th, police are investigating what they believe to be an unintended suicide of a 32-year-old man by a handgun. Says Sergeant Luis Caliber. Funny name for a guy. There is a belief that since the magazine was not in the gun, he did not think it would fire. Quote, unfortunately, it did.
There's one in the chamber?
Yeah. Tough way to go. Tough way to go.
Did you mean he died?
He did indeed. Blew his brains out.
Wow.
That's very sad.
That's too bad.
It's very sad.
You got to. I mean, gun safety, man. I'm all about guns, but gun safety, number one, that comes first. So.
You got it, and that's our horrible crime wave for this week.
You have firearms?
No, I had kids growing up, but I never could stand the risk of having one around.
Yeah, well, that's probably a good call. All right, very cool. Hey, we've also got About Town. And yeah, Man About Town, Woman About Town.
Now,
everybody can contribute.
Your Man About Town.
There he is.
Here's your Woman About Town.
Robert.
Good morning. How are you?
All right, that's very funny there, Scooty. First of all, let's give a shout-out to my friends at the Angels and C.J. Wilson, who pitched a brilliant game last night, 6-1. I was there with Max Tech. Probably one of the best catches and throws I've ever seen. Trout catches it at the center field wall and throws out the runner on third. It was extraordinary.
Without a bounce.
Without a bounce. It was truly one of the best throws I've ever seen. So shout-out to the Angels.
Trout actually got robbed from a home run, and that was the ESPN number one play that by the center fielder for Kansas City.
Went up over the wall and pulled it in. An amazing play.
That didn't stop Trout. He still hit another home run. So.
That'll teach him, huh?
And didn't you say somebody moved your parking cone?
One of the pitchers.
Moved your parking cone. Boy,
kind of him. Very kind of him. They're full service.
Robert
there
Palmer's
Stadium.
In town, and they come out and send their pitcher out to move the parking cone.
All right, so I know you're a Strawberry fan, which means you certainly know that this is the 56th annual Strawberry Festival going on in Garden Grove right now. Next to the Orange County Fair, it's probably the biggest. 300,000 people are showing up.
Wow.
But speaking of big, you know, last week we were talking about Godzilla.
Yeah.
Went and saw it. Absolutely fabulous.
Really?
Crushed the box office. And the director, Gareth Evans, his last movie only made $500,000, and they tapped this guy to do a $160 million movie. It's already well over $200
million. What was his last
movie? Your Man About Town.
Well, there he is. Thank you, Brian.
There he is again. I don't even know what was so infamous or unfamous, but they tapped this guy for a $160 million movie and let him do the whole thing. As a result of that, this week, this guy's on a roll. He got tapped to do the new Star Wars in 2016. They're doing a standalone series. So the guy goes from nobody to Godzilla to Star Wars.
Well, I'd like to go back and revisit that $500,000 movie he made and see what that's all about.
Probably pretty damn good.
Apparently somebody saw something there, right?
Yeah, but the lizard is going to get crushed this weekend, I'm predicting, by X-Men Days of the Future.
Wait a minute, is Godzilla a lizard?
Yes.
I don't think
he's a radioactive lizard.
Oh, I don't know that I even really ever put that together in my head.
It was a horrific story right after the Japanese got bombed in World War II.
Uh-huh.
And it was a story about the dangers of radiation and how a giant lizard can turn into a giant monster.
I've never seen a Godzilla movie in my life.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
You don't even know who Mothra is then.
No, I have no clue.
The greatest monster of all time. A giant moth with laser beams in his eye.
Really?
Yes, with two little women that ride on his back.
Two little women.
Strangest thing. I'm not making this up.
But what is it you enjoyed about the... I mean, I went to see Spider-Man and I walked out after 20 minutes. I just couldn't get into that role for some reason. But what is it you enjoy about the Godzilla?
He really gets into the role of Godzilla.
Robert does?
He has some sort of connection with Godzilla.
I do. I bond with him, don't I? Just since I was a little kid, I made Godzilla monsters. I love the thought of it. I love the screaming people looking up as he would stomp on them and crush them.
Really?
And just kind of the angry lizard.
So you have had a thing for Godzilla since a very early
time? Since I was a little kid, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever, like, for Halloween, dress up as Godzilla?
It didn't take it quite that
far. Okay. Yeah. Just want to make sure.
No, I always had the crappy Superman outfits, you know, with the little mass that struck your head and a little bad cape. No, that's terrible.
Well, but why did you enjoy the movie Godzilla? What was it about the movie? What would you recommend?
Max, what do you think? It was beautifully told story, and it was very interesting.
Really?
And it everyone in it that's a star is dead within the first hour, which is
kind of
interesting.
Yeah, that kind of disappointed me. But
yeah, but you kind of like that. It's kind of interesting. Exactly. But it was beautifully told, and it went very slowly, but you don't even see Godzilla for the first hour.
Yeah.
And then you've got some bizarre
stuff. It's very drama-filled for one of Godzilla's movies.
It was,
because there's
indeed.
Been over, what, like 100 Godzilla movies.
It had a plot, it had a theme, it had great acting, great directing.
Like, there's a storyline in this. Wow.
It was shocking. That's a new concept.
I was expecting
concept.
Godzilla to blow up and destroy.
Very pro-U.S. military is featured in it prominently. They do a fine job.
All right.
It's all good.
Sounds good.
Oh, but there's more.
Well, wait a minute. I saw Tartuffe, by the way. Is that how you pronounce that? Tartuffe?
It is.
What
you
did
like
you
it?
Think? I loved it, actually. I was going in, you know, 17th century playwright, you know. I don't know. I didn't think it was going to be available to me, accessible to me. But ended up really thoroughly enjoying the entire performance.
It was, though, wasn't it? It was banned in France in the 17th century. It was so revolutionary back then.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's South Coast Repertory, by the way.
It is indeed.
And it continues through June 8th.
That'll be the final show of the season.
Yeah, so, I mean, if anybody's out there that's interested, I would recommend they go and check it out. Well, the one thing I didn't understand, though, was the ending. You saw it.
I can't tell you the ending.
No, but this sort of benevolent king comes in and sort of resolves everybody's problems. I was expecting something different.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
I'll tell Marlene to redirect it next time.
Okay.
Speaking of our military... If you are current or retired military, did you know this weekend you can get in free to Knott's Berry Farm in Sauk City?
That's good to know.
That's very good to know.
Yeah.
We thank Knott's Berry Farm for doing a shout-out to our military. We have a few other things here, though. If you feel like, speaking of smoking, if you want a smoky, smoky, drinky, drinky, where better to go than the Greek Theater tonight? Who's there? Cheech and Chong. They're still alive. I can't believe it. So you probably don't even need to bring your own. I think just the crowd high will pretty much get everyone buzzed out of their minds by the end of the evening. Okay, so, and if you're a music
fan... You're sort of a pot snob, I take that as well.
Never really liked it.
Oh, okay.
Didn't do anything right.
All right, there you go.
Prefer my scotch. Scotch, get in my belly. So Sean Colvin and Steve Earle are playing tonight, if you want to go see them down at the Grove. And we've got Stephen Stills coming up next week, as you might know. And
I tried to get tickets for that. Sold out.
Really? And one of our favorites, Marshall Tucker Band, is here also at the Coach House this week. So lots of good stuff going on, lots of activities out there. And unfortunately, not the best weather for a long weekend.
That's too bad.
But that's it, my friend.
Very nice. Yeah, I wish if somebody has extra Stephen Stills tickets, I'll be happy to take them off your plate. And maybe the Coach House. I'd love to reach out. I've tried to reach out to the Coach House, by the way.
Yes.
I'm just not getting a good sort of feedback from them. I'd love to kind of bring in or go visit their artist and interview their artist. I mean, there's so much we could do, but, you know, nobody calls you back.
You mean Robert doesn't have connections for you?
You know,
he usually knows everyone.
Well, that's true.
Well, Scott, is that Stills who performed with Graham Nash, right?
Yeah.
It is indeed.
I actually have a connection with Graham Nash, so I could probably try to help you out there.
Well, you have a connection with Graham Nash.
Yeah,
wow.
So a friend of mine, Stad, invited me to go see Graham Nash talk at the Commonwealth Club, and we had really good seats, and we ended up talking and going out with him after. He's a really funny guy. He's got great stories.
Wow. Graham Nash does?
Yeah.
What was he talking about?
He talked about, he had a book coming out, so he talked about that. But my favorite was, he, as you may know, him and Neil Young didn't get along very well.
Yeah.
And he had a really funny story about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool, man. Very cool. Hey, well, that's Max Tech, by the way. And Max Tech is in the studio down from San Francisco. He's here in Laguna for 2 weeks. He'll be back next weekend as well in the studio. And then you want to just briefly talk to us about your trip to Peru?
So I will be going for my fifth time. I'll be going to Piura, Peru, which is a desert region of Peru. So there's no llamas, unfortunately. And what I did was I originally started out on this trip in high school. I went with a group over at J. Sarah Catholic High School. And they still do this, and I recommend this if you're there. And you go on a missionary trip, and you're there for about a week to 2 weeks at a time. And I just fell in love after I went there for the first time. I've gone five times since. I've built 36 homes and a chapel, and I've made friends of a lifetime.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Including your new buddy, Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh will be there this year, so hopefully we'll be able to connect.
That's beautiful, man. Beautiful. You got a nice lifestyle ahead of you. You're only 20, right? You've got so much going on. So congratulations on everything, by the way. And you got a new watch. We were talking briefly about the new watch. You want to tell us how that came about?
Yeah. So I have a Pebble. So it's a wearable. It's an electronic wearable. And what this watch does is it connects to my phone. It notifies me if I'm in a meeting or something, so I can just read the text on my phone screen or on my watch screen. I can answer calls or play music through it. One of my favorite things about it is, unlike my phone that dies within the day, the watch lasts for over a week. So it actually is there for me when my phone isn't. But yeah, it's a cool little nifty device. It's waterproof up to 20 meters, so it's pretty impressive for an electronic device.
Yeah, very nice. What do we have tech-wise tonight? Or today, this morning?
So I wanted this week in California, it's officially approved. Driverless cars are allowed to go on all public roads. So I kind of wanted to give a little...
That's terrifying.
I wanted to give a little analysis on that.
Yeah.
So Google's had them for years now. Their cars have managed to travel over 700,000 miles without receiving a single citation. I need to know their secret because I don't know how they're doing it. But this week, like I said, it's official that all these self-driving cars are allowed in California public roads. But this brings up an interesting point. First off, who receives the ticket there if there were to be one? Would the driver receive the ticket? The driver who
That's
wasn't
true.
Driving?
Send it to Google.
Or the car. And Google, luckily, or nice of them, they're like, put it on us. Like, if our car gets a ticket, we'll take the ticket. But this is a problem because with all these cars that are driving themselves perfectly, there's not going to be any speeding tickets. In fact, approximately 41 million people receive speeding tickets in the U.S. every year, paying out more than $6.2 billion per year, according to U.S. Highway Patrol statistics. This translates to an estimated $300,000 in speeding tickets in revenue per U.S. police officer per year.
Jeez.
Now, if you had all these cars driving perfectly, where are they going to get all that money? That's a big cut out of the police department's salary.
They're going to go broke.
Wow. So
that's not good.
I don't think people will adapt right away. Even though these cars are going to start being on the road starting now, I don't think people are going to be very open to it. I'm looking at you, Robert.
Well, Max, consider that most people still can't set the clock on their own DVR.
Exactly.
So I don't see a lot of people using these for a while.
So it's a common problem that a lot of people understand. So CEO of Tesla, Elon Musk, actually mentioned that he'd think it would be more of an autopilot kind of world, where there'd be a mix of people driving themselves and then people maybe they're drunk or they're tired having the car drive for themselves, but they still prefer to drive the car themselves.
That makes sense.
And I think that would make a lot more sense happening on the road. But with this big cut out of the police budget, would the police be able to would they have enough money to even get those guys? Would it be a mix of perfectly formed traffic and idiots sweeping in and out, crashing into each other? I don't know.
That is weird. Very. How much are these cars going to sell for?
The problem is that because no one wants to get on the whole autonomous board, Google's having a lot of trouble getting with a manufacturer.
Gotcha.
So besides, in the next about 5 to 10 years, companies I've mentioned, Nissan, GM, Toyota, Audi, and BMW. I'd say BMW and Audi and Tesla are leading the way. they're going to start slowly but surely getting more and more advanced cruise controls, where your cruise control will start taking over the wheel, then it'll start taking over maybe lane guidance, and then Audi in the next 2 years is going to have one that stops and goes for you in traffic, which is amazing.
Wow.
Could you trust that? I don't know that I would. But could you sit back and just let a vehicle do things
for
you?
I could not.
I think I'd freak out of it.
Even if it had 700,000 miles with that one citation.
Even if.
But I think, like, serious matters aside, how funny it would be when I'm, like, an old man and my grandkids are like, you used to drive that thing? Wait, they would let you be in control of that steel metal box of death. And I'd be like, yep. And you know what? I'd go 80 in that thing.
That will be interesting.
Yeah.
Nobody will believe you.
Yeah. No one will. I'll be like, and we would look at the news every morning to look where people would crash so we could avoid that.
And there were pedals on the floor.
There were pedals on the floor. Wait, there weren't foot massagers down there?
So it's all good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'd love to see these, but I don't know that I love my driving skills. Despite my four tickets, I love my driving skills.
Yeah,
the last one was going 90, and I got buzzed. And I always try to fight mine, by the way. And I've won probably half of them.
That's
good. Yeah, the other half I've lost. The last two I lost big time, so I'm still suffering for that on
if
my
you
insurance.
If you fight and you lose, do you lose more than you would have fighting?
You know what happened is we fought my wife's ticket. Lost. I appealed it, and now I go to appeals court Thursday. But the argument is that the judge made a decision that she couldn't go to traffic school before she presented her case.
Oh.
And I said, well, I don't think you can do that. And I found the law that says you can't do that. So
you're a litigious bastard.
I'm a litigious bastard, yes.
That's awesome.
Are we good here? Over here, everything's good, Brian? Okay, excellent. Yeah. Max, beautiful. Thanks, man. Stay for a little while longer and hang out. Excellent. Miss Jill Harvey's in the studio as well.
Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Wearing a T-shirt that says, what does it say, by the way? Dream it, wish it, live it. And why that shirt? What is it?
I just picked it out of my drawer today.
Gotcha.
You know, it's inspirational, don't you think?
I think it is.
Yeah. It's odd you're wearing that on your chest, though. Having trouble focusing
it's
right now.
It's better than having no shirt at all. All right.
We won't go there. Look at Robert.
Maybe some chia pet seeds.
Hey.
Chia pet pasties.
Yeah.
The new
craze.
Excellent.
Craze. I'm thinking we're onto something here.
So next topic.
Okay. All right. We got Rita Rudner calling in about 10 minutes. So, Jill, tell us a little bit about core training. I mean, it's a big thing out there. It's been around a while, but what's going on?
Well, you know, it's the big hype word. Everybody's talking about training their core. Let's go to core class. Let's go train the core. Got to get my core in. You know, the question is, are we aware of what it really is? So how do you guys feel about your core? Core's
horrible.
Love my
horrible.
Core.
You love your core. This is a good place to start. And you love Godzilla.
I do.
I think he has a good core.
Huge core.
Yeah.
But, you know, so the core is super important. Harvard Health Studies state that 4 out of 5 Americans at some time in their life do experience horrible back pain. You know, it can be mild to excruciating to debilitating. Scott, you've had experience, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, Robert, you?
Two surgeries.
Two?
Yep.
Didn't do the
surgery. So we're finding that there's just weak links. When we want to think of the core, it's a complex series of muscles and, you know, groups of muscles. And it's not just the abs. We think of it as a link between the upper and lower body. And in some cases, we say, think of your core as everything but your arms and your legs. So stabilizing this is a huge process. So it's about that everything we do moves through the core or originates from the core. So in that sense, if you look at people with poor posture, their head is tipping forward, they're collapsing, they're sinking in their gut. Yeah, nice, lift that chest up. But, you know, you're creating deficiencies in your posture and in your muscle groups. You're having muscle groups that are too tight, muscle groups that are weak, and this becomes cumulative. So it's not a surprise that one day you reach down or twist around to grab something, and bam, you've just thrown something out. You know, so it's a very important process to be aware, to be mindful of the core. And it's not just about the abdominal muscles. It's muscles that are layered within the abdominal muscles, in the back, in the sides. Your neck is so huge in that, your pelvic floor, and your buttocks are huge in that. So, you know, when we have people sitting for prolonged periods of times and they're sinking and their chin is tipping forward, they're aggravating this condition. They're deactivating those core muscles. Do you guys do any specific core activities or to train the core?
Not that I can talk about.
No, you can, because that's a good activity. And you need to have a strong core for if I think we're on the same page. Yeah.
So to give I mean, besides, what would we do? Give us an example of one or two exercises that somebody could do to develop their core?
Yeah, so balance and stability, working through balance exercise. You know, we want to, growing up in Chicago, you have the ice. And when you're on that ice, I don't know if any of you have experienced that, and you start that slipping, mm-hmm. you're like, you know, you're trying to recover it, and your body and muscles are doing everything to actually keep your vision level and your spine protected. So in that we have, for instance, here's a great one. If you stand up tall, there's a muscle group called transverse abdominis, and it sits horizontally. It acts like a girdle, a band across your belly. So just pull your navel to your spine, and
Robert?
You're activating that. And you can feel that support, and you can feel it through the back as well, right? So a lot of times, though, we let that go. Again, we're in poor posture. We want to relax. I even watch people out walking, and their posture is horrible. Their shoulders are slung forward. They're collapsing. They're looking down. So, again, that mindfulness.
On that exercise, are you suggesting we walk around all the time with that belly button tucked in?
You know, I mean, it's not a... exertion.
Or is it an exercise?
It can be an exercise and something we call a quadruped when you're on your hands and knees. Mm-hmm. And you can just stabilize your core. You just pull the navel to the spine, release it, navel to the spine, release it. Mm-hmm. Planks, a series of planks, whether you're on your elbows and forearms or up on your hands, right. Side planks. I love hyperextensions.
Did you see someone broke the world record for planks this week?
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Over an hour, right?
Over an hour. Oh my gosh. But the test is 2 minutes. If you can hold a plank on your hands and toes, and your hips, it's proper alignment, too. A lot of people just start doing these exercises. They're not mindful, and they're not in alignment, and they're going to aggravate a condition. So it's being aligned. You want your hips, your ribs, your shoulders in alignment. You want to be squeezing the glutes. But, you know, crunches, this whole wanting the six-pack abs, if you're just doing crunches and all you want and you have are those six-pack abs, you can actually cause back injury. Hmm. So it's doing hyperextensions, mm-hmm. reverse hyperextensions. Working Pilates is a huge core activated exercise program, as well as yoga.
How about a sun salutation?
Sun salutation. But see, anything we're doing, whether it's yoga, lifting weights, squatting, you know, shoulder press, anything we're doing, kayaking, stand-up paddle, all these things you need to first remember we're engaging the core and that everything, again, is moving. Force is moving through there. And so it's being very mindful and respectful. And we, again, are in charge of where we're heading in the future with our back.
That's beautiful, yeah. You know, there's a lot more that we can chat about comes to the core. You're back next week in the studio. Max is back next week in the studio. We've got a special musical guest coming in. We've got a special somebody, actor/writer from South Coast Repertory coming in. And I think we're going to have the camera crew in as well. So it's going to be a busy weekend. Let's revisit that maybe next week. I think
so
we could spend more time on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful, Jill. Thank you very much.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Listen, we got Rita Rudner calling in 5 minutes, and we got the Legends of Rock. Can you do it in five?
We can try.
Okay, go. Legends of Rock.
Legends of Rock.
One of the most entertaining, interesting, and controversial performers of all time was Jim Morrison. Jimmy Morrison was originally a poet, not a musician. He bumped into Ray Manzarek, of all places, in Venice Beach, California, in 1965. Later joined up with John Dennismore, and then eventually bring in, I like some music back there, Robbie Krieger on guitar. They formed the band The Doors in 1965. And you always talk about B3s. Manzarek played a Farfisa, probably the worst organ ever made in the history of the world.
You talk about it, not me.
Exactly. So they were looking for work, and they started playing at the Whiskey Go-Go, where they became the regular house band. That was until August 21, 1966. When Jim Morrison decided to tell an expletive version of the Greek myth Oedipus. And during it, he sang the end for 12 minutes, their first song.
Haunting.
We, of course, don't have 12 minutes to
read it.
So they finally came out with their first album. They had the end on it. But then they came out with a hit, finally. 1966, one of their best songs, Break On Through to the Other Side.
You know, the day destroys the night.
They then had a 7-minute song on that album, and they were trying to figure out how to make a hit out of it. So their producer, Paul Rothschild, said, you know what? I can cut this down to 3 minutes, and I think we might have a hit. And with that, Light My Fire took them off on the charts for their first million-selling song. That would be the Farfisa organ right there.
You know, the day destroys the night.
Well, they actually sang this song on the Ed Sullivan Show on September 17th, 1967, but they had to make a deal with Ed to get on the show. Ed did not want them singing The World Higher. Uh-oh. It was inappropriate to say on TV, so they cut a deal that they would use the word Baby I Can't Get Much Better. Well, guess what? It was Mr. Morrison. He said, F it. He went on and said higher, and although they were scheduled for six more shows, Mr. Sullivan threw them off the show, never to return again. Their next album came out from Sunset Studios. Strange Days, an appropriate song, People Are Strange.
People are strange when you're a stranger. When I hear these songs, I think of certain movies where these songs have appeared, you know.
They're
I think of The End
movie.
And Apocalypse Now. I think of this from The Lost Boys, I think it was.
So one of my favorite performances is in December 9th, 1967. They were performing in New Haven, Connecticut. Morrison was arrested. He was indeed the first rock star to ever be arrested on stage.
Really?
How did that happen, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. Little Jimmy was backstage making out with a fan in the bathroom when he was caught by a police officer. The police officer told him to leave, and he responded, "Eat it." And the cop told him, "This is your last chance, pal." And Morrison, of course, replied, "No, this is your last chance to eat it." He was promptly maced.
Wow.
An hour later, he recovered, went on the stage, went into a series of profanities at the police, and was once again arrested and drug off the stage. Their third album came out, Waiting for the Sun. Had their first number one LP again. Great little tune. Hello, I Love You. They had another hit off this album, one of the poppiest tunes I've ever think they've done. Something you like to say all the time, I know. Touch me, baby. Touch me.
Touch me, Robert. Touch me.
One of the best intros of all time. So Jimmy was at it again. March 1, 1969, they had a show at the Dinner Key Theater in Coconut Grove, Miami, Florida. Turns out Jimmy missed his connecting flight that day and was absolutely blottoed by the time he got there. Even worse, he had just seen a performance artist called Antagonistic Performance, and he proceeded to yell obscenities at the crowd for the next 2 hours. After saying them, that you're a bunch of effing idiots, he would say, "What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?"
Wow.
Well, they didn't like that very much, but his manager said it was the strangest show he'd ever seen. There were people walking around carrying sheep in the middle of the concert, so you gotta love that. More importantly, he apparently got a little carried away. The next day, he was promptly arrested by the Dade County Sheriff for apparently exposing himself naked and having mock sex with Robbie Krieger on stage. He was convicted and sentenced to 5 years in jail.
Wow.
For reasons we all know, he never served that time. 70 came about, put out the LP Morrison Hotel. They did a first live album. And, of course, he went back on his 27th birthday and recorded yet another poetry session, which he so loved to do. Well, their final album came out in 1971, L.A. Woman, probably their strongest album of all time. Three hits came out of that. Let's hear them all briefly. Number one, Love You Madly.
By the way, Rita Rudner in 2 minutes.
We should dedicate this to Rita. We do love her madly. Recall we did the Guess Who American Woman last week. Well, Jimmy had his own song, L.A. Woman, his dedication to Los Angeles women. Be the Fender Rhodes electronic.
Look at you. Always have to try to do that.
Ray Manzarek really added a lot to this band with his talent. Amazing. And then finally, we're going to go out with their last song, one of my favorites, classic to this day, Riders on the Storm. And while we're talking about Riders on the Storm, it was at this time in his life when Jimmy decided to move back to Paris for a break. He was tired of recording. He began drinking heavily, began doing drugs. And as we all know, on July 3, 1971, Jimmy passed away in Paris. No autopsy was performed because there were no signs of foul play. To this day, he's buried in the Poets' Corner in Paris. And on his tombstone, in French, are the words, "True to his own spirit, Jimmy Morrison, dead at 27. Despite the fact that they only played for a few years, they're still one of the best-selling bands of all time. They've sold over 35 million copies of their albums in America, 100 million worldwide. And they were the first American band ever to accumulate 8 consecutive gold and platinum albums. Jimmy Morrison and the Doors.
That's beautiful, Robert. Thank you very much. Why do you call him Jimmy, by the way?
Why do I call you Scooty? I don't know.
Well, why do I call you Mr. Fancy Pants?
I don't know.
Well, I know why I call you Fancy Pants. It's a whole other issue. We'll talk about that another
Not
time.
On the air.
All right. Okay, hey, great job, by the way. Legends of Rock, always fun. By the way, let me put the call out. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes here with my co-host Robert Palmer, and this, of course, is Radio Caravan. We also have in the studio Max Tech and, of course, Miss Jill Harvey. But on the phone, do we have our guest there?
Yes.
Miss Rita Rudner.
Hello, hello, hello.
Can you hear us okay?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? But there's somebody else in the middle.
Yeah, there is somebody in the middle. But we're going to turn off the music. We can hear you fine.
Oh, goody.
I think we're good. And by the way, thank you so much for calling into the studio. And
no, I'm happy. I'm so glad I remembered because I have a little bit of history of forgetting.
Well, I appreciate that. And so
okay. Now, and I've been half listening to this... The Jimi Hendrix story while I've been making some coffee.
Well, that's good.
And do I have it right
No.
that he exposed himself to sheep and had to spend 5 years in a barn? Is that what I'm
well,
I only got some of the information.
That's actually my life story, Rita.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Actually, it was Jim Morrison from the Doors.
Oh, Jimmy Morrison. I get my Jimmys mixed up. I get June and July mixed up, too.
Do you?
Yeah, and March and May. It's just that first letter throws me off.
Oh, how interesting.
When I first met people and I was in New York, they said, "How do you get downstairs by yourself?" I said, "I don't know. I manage, but first I go the wrong way and then I go the right way."
Well, let me give the listeners a little background here. You're a comedian, you're a writer, you're an actress. You've appeared numerous times on The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson, on Late Night with David Letterman.
I've exposed myself to paintings that Red Skelton did, I think.
Is that true?
No, I made that up.
You've recorded several comedy specials for HBO and PBS.
Yes, I did that.
You've performed more than 3,000 solo shows in Las Vegas.
Over and over and over and over and over and over and over, but it was lots of fun.
You're currently performing at the Venetian?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night in Las Vegas?
Yes.
And yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a writer of books, both fiction and nonfiction. Is there anything you don't do?
No, I'm a mommy, too. You forgot the most important job.
That's right. You're a wife and a mommy. I forgot about that.
Yes. Can you believe 25 years with the same man?
That's a long time.
And 35 years with the same bottle of Worcestershire sauce.
Which is more impressive.
Yeah, I carry it wherever I am. I put it in the house. I don't know what I'm supposed to use it for, but everyone says I have to have one. So
the man or the Worcestershire sauce?
Both.
Both.
But I don't want to use anything that has worst in the title, you know?
You're right.
It makes things taste worse, but you have to add it. So I just... And then he only had 2 drops, so who cares? So just say you added it and you don't add it. No one's going to know.
But does this come out naturally for you?
This does, but my act I have to work on.
Okay.
Yeah, but talking, I like talking.
Okay. Speaking of your act, there's an evening with Rita Rudner and her new dress next mm-hmm. Saturday, May 31st, and Sunday, June 1. Is that correct?
That's so correct, yes.
At the Laguna Playhouse on Laguna Canyon Road. Tickets can be purchased, by the way, online at www.lagunaplayhouse.com.
Or go into a cloud. That can happen, too. I don't know. Do you understand the iCloud? I mean, there are certain points in people's lives where they check out. Like, you know, my grandfather checked out at recycling, my father checked out at thermostat, and I checked out at iCloud. I just checked out, you know? I don't want things in a cloud. I want things in a closet.
Hard to wear a dress in the cloud, isn't it?
Oh, you know what? This keeps going back to something about that I don't want to... Well, tell me everything. Liz, this is a therapy session. I'm here for you.
Tell us about your fear of the cloud. What is it about the cloud
that you fear? I don't get it. Is it in... What's in a cloud? Where is the cloud? Why does something my daughter has go into a cloud and onto my husband's phone and not mine? Why can't I be on the cloud? Get off of my cloud. That was a song before
like God.
Its time.
It's like God. You can't prove it's there, but you just kind of know it's out there somewhere.
That's it. It's somewhere out there. There's a cloud, and it has my pictures on it. I don't get it, and it has my music library help.
Okay, so again, An Evening with Rita Rudner and Her New Dress, May 31st, June 1, Laguna Playhouse. First question, what's so interesting about your new dress?
Well, they said, what do you want to call this evening? And they said, do you have new jokes? And I said, yes, I have new jokes, but more importantly, I have a new dress. So I said, let's call it Rita Rudner and Her New Dress. So that's it, because I'm known for my dresses. You want to hear the history of my dresses? Because we did the history of one of the Jimmies.
Let's do that.
Okay, so there I am. I met my husband. He saw me perform a Catch a Rising Star in 1922, I think. But anyway, it was a long time ago, and I just never bothered with what I wore. And I was in New York, and I always dressed like a cowgirl. I don't know why. I had jeans and boots and fringe jacket. I was just, that's the way I was. That's what I wore. So my husband, he thought it was funny, and he hired me. He produces comedy shows. He hired me, paid me, I married him. That's how it went. And so then he said, you know, Rita, people are not only listening to you, they're looking at you. Why don't you wear a gown? Well, or a dress. And I said, I can't wear a dress because I don't like my legs. And because I've got big old muscles, because I was a dancer for a long time, you know,
right.
And I don't want to sit there and think, oh, my people are looking at me. So I decided to wear a gown. So that's how it happened. So I started wearing gowns, and he picks them up because he's a straight guy with a gay eye. And he picks out my gowns, and that's how I started wearing gowns. So it's funny because one of my friend's daughters was in a college, and they were studying comedy. It wasn't a good college. And they were studying, you know, the history, why people do what they do, and why Rita Rudner presents herself the way she does, and why she does this, and there were all these intricate reasons. And so she came to stay with me because she's a friend of my friend's daughter, and they were staying at the house. And she said, why do you wear a gown? I said, I don't like my legs.
Wow.
That's it. So that's how I started wearing gowns.
Well, I've seen you a few times, and I know you do this show in Laguna. It's very nice. I think you help raise money for the Playhouse. And you do look great in a gown. It's a good look for you.
Thank you, because my husband says, well, you know, keep things from the waist up. Keep the eyes on the waist up. Don't let waist down. Don't let them look there. Isn't he awful?
By the way,
I talk to him about him in my act, but, you know, you don't live with him. He's quite witty and cutting.
So we should mention producer-director Martin Bergman.
Mm-hmm.
You've been married to him more than 25 years.
Yes.
What's the secret to a successful marriage, by the way?
You have to let that person be themselves and pretend they're someone else. That's it. See, I have the answers to everything because I do a lot of advice in my show. When people are just married in Las Vegas or been married and celebrating anniversaries, that's what I say. Also, you know, honesty is important. But oh, by the way, that noise in the back,
yeah.
We're moving into our beach house because we're making a beach house because we're moving in July because we come for the summers here. Because summers in Las Vegas are ridiculous.
Yes.
You can cook chicken on the back seat just while you're driving down the street. Anyway, so what was I talking about?
Your husband.
Oh, yeah.
Your beach house.
So timing is very important when you reveal information. Like, honesty is important, but you have to reveal it at the right time. Like, I wait till he says, I scratched the car, and then I say, I kicked your mother. So, you have to wait for the right time to reveal things that you've done that are incorrect.
So what advice would you give, then, to married couples?
Married couples, I would say, you know, the real thing?
No.
The real thing is he's really funny.
Oh.
And he makes me laugh all of the time.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. And you must make him laugh a lot.
No, I never make him laugh. I make him angry.
And all that Worcestershire sauce you keep putting in his food.
I know. I keep putting it in his breakfast, and he doesn't like it. But I don't know what else to do with it. But, you know, it's just it's just very special to find that one person you want to annoy for the rest of your life. You just spot him and you go, that's him. I want to drive him crazy, and you marry him.
All right. So you're living in Vegas, by the way. Do you enjoy living in Vegas?
You know, I love living in Vegas. It's a little bit tricky, especially my daughter's schools, you know, because schools are different in Vegas. When I enrolled her in a kindergarten, it was the first time I'd ever seen a playground with a stripper's pole. But, you know, you look beyond those things. And I was able to tip her kindergarten teacher and get her a seat in the front of the class, so that was good. And so there are things that you just take what you can get and you ignore the bad. Glass half full, Rudner, that's what I call myself.
I love that. I love that. And so, as a comedian, we're jumping around a little bit, but that's okay.
Let's jump. It's early, and I'm into jumping.
What makes a great comedian, by the way?
People ask me, and the only thing that I can really tell them is to be themselves.
Yeah.
And to go from the truth. And because when I was learning how to write comedy, I read a very, very important tip.
Okay.
Because, you know, you sit there in a blank piece of paper, and you freak out. So I read a tip that if you start from the truth, at least you've known where to start.
Right.
So start from the truth. You exaggerate, you elaborate, you make things up, but you start from the truth.
That's beautiful, yeah. And so has writing comedy changed over the years for you?
It hasn't changed for me, but mm-hmm. it's changed in general. I find, because, you know, styles change everything. You know, things are in a cloud. What are you going to do? But, you know, I really enjoy writing a joke. You know, I like a punchline, and I like an image, and I think it's morphed into more storytelling than
right.
It has comedy. So I try to incorporate both in my act because I'm still very partial to jokes because I love the laugh at the end, and I love that 100% of the time it's going to be there. And with storytelling, not so much. You know,
right.
It depends on the evening. It depends on how you got to the end. It just is. It's not as specific an art form.
Yeah.
It's an art form, but not as specific. So I do tell stories, but I also like to incorporate jokes.
So when you're performing next Saturday and Sunday at the Laguna Playhouse, An Evening with Rita Rudner and Her New Dress,
mm-hmm.
are you sort of there naturally on stage, just sort of like you're having now a conversation with the audience? Do you have a sort of a set outline? Do you have one-liners you're trying to throw in? How's that process work for you when you're actually on stage?
Well, that's a very good question. I always have a map because you always have to go in with a map, and if something else happens during the show, you can veer away, but then you can always go back to the map.
Mm-hmm.
So I would never, ever go on stage without first, looking at a piece of paper and writing down an order in which I'm going to do things. But I always also say I'm going to try this joke here, that joke there, and I always say you always have to keep trying new things, and
right.
I always say nobody laughs, it could have been a sentence. And I just keep going.
So is there audience participation at your show when you
always come at the end?
And how's that work?
Always ask for questions at the end.
Okay.
And whatever they want to know, I tell them. And if I can make it funny, I make it funny. And if I can't make it funny, I just tell them the truth.
Well, that's interesting. And
mm-hmm.
did you ever, like, try to throw something out there that's funny and it just bombs and it
lays
there flat?
Oh, of course, yes.
And so what's the best, what advice would you give to a comedian?
Keep going.
Just to work through
it. Don't reference it. Just do the next thing that's funny.
Yeah.
They'll forget it in a second, and then you've tried it, and you know that you've got to keep doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, things. Sometimes I think things that are hysterical don't work for an audience because they're my boss.
Right.
I work for my audience, and if they don't laugh, it's not funny. I always say to, new comedians, and they ask me, the audience didn't get together before the show and say, let's not laugh at that.
Right, yeah.
You know, they didn't think it was funny. Don't say it again.
Read a lot of comics that I see. They love telling a few jokes during the show just for themselves.
And I don't like that.
And they know it's not going to work, but they do it, and then they crack themselves up. And as an audience member, that's kind of weird.
I don't want to do that. The audience is my boss. You don't say to your boss, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a few things that you don't approve of right here.
Yeah, yeah. How do you face the heckler? Do you have hecklers in the audience occasionally?
No.
Never?
Mm-mm.
Never happens to you?
Not now. It happened a long, long, long time ago.
Right.
When I was first starting. But
okay.
Now people know who they're coming to see and why they're coming to see it, and they want to enjoy it. They don't want to ruin it.
Beautiful, beautiful. You're also a writer. Your latest book, I still have it. I just can't remember where I put it.
Mm-hmm.
Confessions of a 50-something.
That's it.
Has getting older become somehow funnier for you?
It is. You know what? I like to, I kind of appeal to people over, 45, 50, because that's who I am. In fact, I just turned 60, which was very hard. But my daughter made
that
me
is
feel,
hard to believe.
My yeah. daughter made me feel better about it. You know what she did? She wrote me a book, 60 Reasons Why She Loves Me.
Oh,
wow.
Isn't that nice? And my husband took me to the mall and set me free and said he would buy me anything I wanted at the Container Store.
That's funny. What did you end up buying?
Oh,
a container.
Something for some old pasta. I like it. It has an airtight top.
Yeah. But the book, I mean, it's available for people to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
It's been out how long now? A year or two?
I don't know. You know what? I forget. June, July, Jimmy, I don't know.
Right, exactly.
Whatever it is, you go to some place in the cloud and you buy it.
When I was reviewing this a little bit and researching you a little bit, is it true you have your own comic strip?
I did for a while.
Yeah? What was that about?
It was just, you know, little jokes and things, but I did it online and I did it for, it was animated for a while, but it just, you know, it's too time consuming. Mm. And when my daughter came around, we stopped playing golf and we stopped doing things that didn't make us any money.
Do you actually play golf, though, truthfully?
I don't now. I did before my daughter was born. And don't ask me my handicap, because I've never been able to start golf early enough where I finished before it was dark. So I've never played all 18 holes.
Well, so how do you spend your free time when you're not working? Because it sounds like you're a busy woman, mm-hmm. you know, between here and Vegas and all the shows you're doing and the writing and the performing and everything you got going on in your life.
Writing a new book, writing a new play.
You are?
We did a play last year at Laguna Playhouse called Tickled Pink, which was from my novel, and it was really, really fun to do. I played 3 different characters. So I'm always trying to do something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Besides work, how do you like spending your time?
I play a lot of tennis.
Okay.
I'm a chauffeur. I run my daughter around from here to there. I host lots of children in my house and then clean it up. You know, the regular things mothers do. I like cooking these days, which is, I do have jokes about not being able to cook.
Right.
My husband says it's not really an oven in our house, it's a crematorium. But it's just, you know, I always try to learn new things. Women, we're always learning. Even though we're not naturally inclined to do something, we just keep trying. That's what's lovely about us, and that's what's very, very disturbing.
How's your tennis game?
My tennis game, you know, my daughter beats me regularly.
Okay.
And I can do my jokes if you like. I play doubles with some people I met in group therapy. We play mixed up doubles, which is...
Is this really... That's funny.
Pardon?
That's funny.
It's funny. Well, I'm a comedian, so I look at a...
That's what you do. I
look
forgot.
At a situation and I try to make a joke. Ha ha.
What's the new book you're working on?
Again, it's about, it's the past. It's remembering things we might have forgotten.
Okay.
And, it's just things that do you remember, carbon paper?
Sadly, I do.
I said, do you remember when you were smarter than your phone, smarter than your car, and smarter than your kid? So just little snippets about things like that. And it's just fun, because there's so many, everything has changed so much.
Right.
That I just sit down and I remember when, Demi Moore was married to Bruce Willis.
Well, that was a long time ago.
I know. These things, you gotta think about these things.
Rummer's an adult now, so.
Was oh, that, I know. I don't know whether to say rummer or rumor. I can't figure it out.
A
so I just
both.
Said Demi Moore's oldest kid.
Hey, so let me do a lightning round with you. We've got about 4 minutes.
Okay, what does that mean? Do I have to know something?
No, it just means you just sort of spontaneously respond to
chicken.
Whatever random questions
we come.
Okay,
I just said it. Chicken.
Chicken.
I'm just saying that. Chicken. Fruit.
What's your favorite color and why?
Purple.
And why?
Because it's the new pink.
It's the new pink. Great. What do you love?
Pink used to be my favorite color, but purple is the new pink, so now purple is my favorite color.
What do you love about Laguna?
The relaxation about it. There's something very relaxing about it. You know, whenever I'm in, I say I have the best of both worlds, because in here everything's natural, and in Vegas everything's artificial. And even the climate. Here I say I stay in at the beach till my hair gets too frizzy, then I go back to Las Vegas till my skin gets too dry. And then I come back to Laguna to frizz my hair up.
I would argue that not everything on the beach is natural in Laguna Beach.
That's absolutely true. There's some people who can't sink. You're right.
Who's your greatest comedic influence?
One of the Jimmies.
What is with your fascination with Worcestershire sauce?
Worcestershire sauce. I can't say it, and I don't know what it's for, and I just still have the bottle. That's all. I just look around and see what's going on in my life, and then I say it on stage, and if it's funny, I leave it in.
Hey, you know what? Thank you so much for calling in. You were just so much fun. I'm sorry we didn't have the full hour we could have devoted to you, honestly.
Oh, my heavens. Well, you can devote it to me anyway, even though I'm not on the phone.
We can do that. We'll do that maybe next weekend. Now, I want to remind listeners, by the way, An Evening with Rita Rudner and Her New Dress, next Saturday, May 31st, Sunday, June 1, at the Laguna Beach at the Laguna Playhouse at Laguna Canyon Road. And just to remind, tickets can be purchased online at www.lagunaplayhouse.com or by
in the cloud or by
calling 949-497-2787. 949-497-2787. It sounds like it's going to be a great, great performance, a lot of fun, and we're really looking forward to seeing you here in town.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll be there, and you have a wonderful Laguna day.
Thank you,
thank
Ms.
you
Rita.
So much, Rita.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Round of applause for her. Boy, she is very quick-witted.
She is chicken.
I mean, really, it's just like one right after the other. I mean, it just doesn't, I don't know if it flows naturally or she's responding to, you know, shows she's done in the past. She does so many or
it's
what?
It's just who she is. And she's just amazing, everything she's done. She's also done screenplays. She's done movies. She's done everything.
She's really quite extraordinarily talented. I wish I had one-tenth of that talent. Okay, we're out of here, I guess. You've been listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. This is Radio Caravan. I'm Scott Hayes.
And I'm Robert Palmer.
And don't forget, 8 p.m. tonight, Sean Jones on Radio Caravan, Cox 3, Channel 3. And again, 12 noon Sunday, Sean Jones.
You got it. Best musician around. Our thanks to Jill and Max for coming in studio today.
And we'll see everybody next weekend. All right. Brian, take us out of here. Good work.
You're listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer. And reporter Megan Jamerson.